I got notification that it's recording.
We are now recording. We'll see
officially
if Aaron cuts this part out or not.
I bet he won't.
We'll see. Thank you so much. Good afternoon, good evening, good desk. Welcome to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Sean Conroy. Also with me on the show today, the birthday girl, Amber Kenny, is here.
Hello.
How did it feel?
To have a birthday?
Yeah.
Classic. It felt great. It was a good one. We can get to it, but it was nice. I feel like I maybe am doing my life backwards in the sense that, like, I used to hate my birthday as a kid. Mm-hmm. I cried every year on my birthday.
Right.
I just had, like, for whatever reason. And slowly with age, I'm like thawing. It's less of a
you're like Benny Buttons. You're going backwards.
Exactly. I'm like, let's have a bounce house.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah, I had a weird thing with birthdays where I was like, I can't tell people about my birthday. That's too, that's making it too much about myself. I don't want to tell anybody that this is happening. But then I would be resentful that nobody knew that it was my birthday.
Like,
I'd be like, this is sad. Why is no one wishing me a happy birthday? So then at some point I started having like huge things every year on my birthday where we'd go to a bar and have a cocktail or two, and that was fun for a long time, and now that's not so much a thing anymore now that we're a sober podcast. But
you could like do a putt-putt golf.
I want to do something. Yeah, I forget what I did this past year. Maybe probably nothing, but next year.
I don't remember if it was this year or the year before that you had a party and then like 2 days later you're like, it's canceled.
Yeah, right. That was 2 years ago.
It was like COVID-ish and stuff.
It was like when the Delta variant started to flare up. It wasn't even 2 days. It was like I sent the invitation out and then 12 hours later I was like, never mind, there's a red alert. Because I was going to have a big thing here at my apartment by the pool with a cookout and, you know, everything.
That'd be fun.
It would be fun. Maybe this summer we'll do that. But I did – I posted, which I think you saw. Yeah, you did see it. A bunch of photos on
We were
Instagram.
Young.
I know. It was so funny. And there's after I posted this, I found a bunch more from that night because Mandy Johnson was there and took a lot of pictures that night. And it was just funny. It was funny to see all of us. It was also funny, like, I'm in a suit. You're in a very nice cocktail dress. Yeah. Eddie is in a t-shirt and a baseball hat. Like, it was so what the show was.
Well, I think that was our first live show. And it was like, this is it. We're doing it. And
yeah.
Sorry, still out.
it was fine. It was fun.
No, it was great. I just mean, I think –
oh, that we, this was our ticket to the top?
Of like quitting our day job.
Yes.
You know, like.
Yes. We're finally making it. And we're almost.
No, the show was great. It just wasn't. Yeah. It didn't fully.
I think I know Vicky Flam was on stage and maybe she rapped that night. I think
you're right.
But anyway, I just wanted to read some of the comments that people left. Because I think a lot of the people who left comments are people who listen to this.
Long-time listeners.
Show, yeah. The first one is, and it's unfortunate that this, well, the first one is Jamie, who just put two hearts. I feel like he could have put three, but, you know.
That's too intimate.
Right. But the next one, unfortunately, the comment, and it's very nice, but it says, happy birthday. I am an appreciator of both of you, and I find you both to be very funny. I feel like I would have liked it more if it was more focused on you and your birthday rather than.
Oh.
But that's very sweet. That's Jay Moorer KC.
I think that person knows the show and knows you and was afraid that you would have the comment that you are talking too much about me.
There's no way to win. There's no way to win. Then there's one from Steve Moth. That's my friend Steve, who loves hockey, and he says, happy birthday, Amber, with a bunch of party hats and hearts. Greg Hahn says, HBD Amber, congrats on your Emmy. So aww, definitely a listener. Eddie Pep, I don't know who that is, says, Amber X. That's it. Is the X in that case, is that a rating? Is that a kiss? What is the X supposed to
mean? I was
going to
say, is X a kiss or a hug? I
always assumed that X was a kiss and O was a hug. Am I wrong about that?
I'm asking. I don't know. Because is it like it's like the two mouths touching? Is that why it's a kiss?
I don't know. Now I'm thinking
like
about it.
Pursed?
Or is it like a rated X kiss?
Or is it like two arms crossing and it's a hug?
I don't know, because the way you say it is hugs and kisses, but the way you write it is XOXO.
It's kisses and hugs.
And your mouth makes an O when you kiss. I just always assumed. I've been living my life upside down all this time.
I don't know. I will do some research. We'll go to the library. We'll go to the microfiche.
Listen, I looked at your Google history. What's going on with you and X's and O's? Are you a tic-tac-toe obsessive?
And it just is like smooches.
Eric Blyler says, I was a regular listener for years, and I hope you two get some credit for Jamie's success with Dynasty Typewriter, as I don't think it could have happened without all of your encouragement and free therapy sessions.
Oh, I was like, I've done nothing. I deserve no credit for that.
Well, but I do think this is a good thing that Eric is saying this, and it now makes sense. I didn't understand this. Why Jamie is renaming it the Sean and Amber Memorial Theater.
it also sounds like that person is definitely past tense listening.
Not listening anymore. Eric, come back if you're not out there. Yeah. Impasta Syndrome 2 says, cannot believe it's been almost 14 years. I still have the first season downloaded to an iPod. Happy birthday, Amber. Yeah, that is some ancient technology. That's basically like having the show on wax cylinders, you know.
Well, it's also crazy because I remember we had listeners that were like, I'm in high school and I like listening to you, and we'd always be like scratching our head like, why do you like listening to us? But I mean, they're fully adults now. Like, yeah. It's so strange.
They have kids and stuff, you know? Yeah. They have criminal records, probably. El Tomato says, beautiful soul, HBD Amber.
Aw.
And then Maribel 2014. And I always assume when people write numbers like that's... because that's the year they were born, right? So Maribel 2014 would be 9 years old.
Yeah.
And a listener of the show. So I apologize for the stuff I'm about to say, but
oh God, is it gonna get filthy?
XOXO is two people sucking each other off. Sorry, Maribel.
No.
But her comment, I'm assuming
the year she graduated, or
right. That makes more sense. The mint chocolate on your hotel pillow, which is a good one.
That's so sweet.
I've never used. So I will attempt to fuck that up sometime in the future. And again, apologies for the language, but I thought that was nice that people sort of came out, because it got, you know, I'm all about social media at this point.
What are the hits?
No, it is funny. I've become obsessed with TikTok. I feel like I am with TikTok where Eddie was with Twitter 12 years ago. Like, I eventually will come on stage with a bunch of phones and just like, go, these are my TikToks. But I just thought it was nice that a lot of people were nice about that. It makes total sense that they would be, but you know,
it was nice that you posted anything. That's very sweet.
People seem to enjoy what you do. They like you,
but also you. Right.
They're an appreciator. They're an appreciator of both of us. Yes, absolutely.
Jeff grew up in a family where he was the oldest and there were four other kids. I'm guessing you same don't as me. Have, but I don't, I'm guessing this next part is not the same as you, mm-hmm. but, we were watching old movies at his parents' house a long time ago. And anytime it was any of their birthdays, everybody got a present. They just like couldn't handle the like, well, when do I get something of it all? So it was like Jeff's birthday. He was like 14 and all the littles are like opening their presents. And I don't know. It was just like,
you are correct. That was wild. Not the way it was at my house. Yeah. Not only that, but I will tell you, this is a weird thing. And I bet that if we said this now, my mother would say that's not true. Mm. But I swear to you, this is the truth. That when I was growing up, when I would have birthday parties and children would come to my house, it was okay. If I did that now and children came to my house, it would be
uncomfortable.
Unless
you were like very good friends with the parents and the parents were also
there. I don't just invite. Yeah, but yes. But then it was okay because we were peers. Mm-hmm. The cake would come out. Mm-hmm. I would blow out the candles, as is traditionally done.
Classic.
So classic. And then everybody there
would get a slice, except
would have
you.
To get a slice before the birthday kit.
That's
before
opposite.
I got a
That's
slice.
Opposite of how you should do it.
Welcome to my home growing up. And that's not even to get into the fact that I was not allowed to have my eighth birthday. We've talked about that before, but my eighth birthday was canceled. And this was before cancel culture. I was not allowed to have my eighth birthday. So technically, I'm only 27 years old, not 28.
That's so little, like in hindsight.
Telling, what do
like,
you mean?
Like, you could almost see like a 15 or a 16 year old getting in that much trouble, but like, what could an 7-8 year old do?
You're saying it was a disproportionate punishment.
Yes.
I do not disagree. And I obviously, it still
sounds like you haven't really
wound.
Processed
yes.
It.
Yes. But what's funny about that, what's funny about those things is like, it was so difficult at the time. And obviously still has an impact, but
your parents are like, that never happened or
no. But it's like a joke. It's like, mm-hmm. this was hilarious, you know, like we all laugh about it. And then I go to my room and cry, you know,
but you have three other siblings.
Four.
If they had a birthday, did you get cake kind of early in the rotation?
Right. Yeah. You were, okay. It was your thing, but no, we did not get a gift if it was somebody else's birthday.
Right.
That seems
right.
insane.
It like, does seem insane.
But you know, I don't have kids, so maybe I would be like, shut up. I got you a Matchbox car, you know? So yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry I was late. I'm having a difficult time in my life right now. I'm having a lot that's going on. I'm a little bit, there's just a lot, you know.
Do you want to get into it?
No. Well, it's just, it's little personal things, you know. Mm. Like I have all these lemons and some of them are in a fruit basket and some are on the counter. And I'm like, do I put the ones in the counter on the fruit basket or do I take the ones out of the, you know, it's that kind of personal service. But part of it is that I am dealing with a lot of insurance stuff still dealing with a lot of insurance stuff, health insurance and car insurance.
Double whammy.
As a matter of fact, let's do checking in and I will go first because
great. Let's get to
I want to.
We are recording. I'm double triple checking.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Man, what a crime we didn't record last week. I would say that was probably the best episode we've had in 6 years.
I agree.
And like, what's funny about this is people will think we're kidding, but we're not kidding.
But us even talking about it, it's like that Tenacious D song where like, this isn't the greatest episode in the world.
this is a song
is
about the greatest.
About the
yes.
Greatest.
Yes. Yeah. But we are, people should know that we are running for co-president. I mean, I want to make that clear that that's, Jamie is going to be our vice president, although he doesn't know it yet.
Him, but
he doesn't know.
Yeah, my parents even were like, oh, it was short. And my mom was like, they're probably tired. They just talked for like 2.5 hours for no reason.
For nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for friendship or whatever.
Oh, I love it. Yes, absolutely. Here's a thing that I was thinking, because we have this description on like iTunes that's like, they talk about the terrors of everyday life or something, like some vague fucking thing. Here's my pitch for our new tagline.
Running
for president. No. That should be in there. But I was thinking.
That's the t-shirt. It's a campaign t-shirt. That's the t-shirt.
Here, what about this? America's best friends catch up. And then we sell, as merch, we sell ketchup.
Okay. All right.
Everybody needs ketchup all the time, you know?
All the time. With our faces on it.
So I got a call today, and I answer my phone sometimes now because I have all these insurance things going on.
I never do unless I recognize the name.
There's no reason to. There's no reason to. Mm-hmm. Except that now, sometimes when I get calls, it's like, hi, John, this is Arnold from Caliber Collision. Just wanted to let you know that it's going to take 2 weeks longer than we thought and cost $2,000 more than we estimated. Mm-hmm. You know, like that kind of shit happens every other day. So I was like, let me answer the phone. And it was like an upstate New York number or something.
But you never know. People move places.
Right. I still have a New York cell phone, and I've been living here for 20 years. But I answer the phone. And this guy goes, hi, I'm a technician from the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, and I have a work order here to cut off your water and power. I don't know if you want to take care of that. Like, I just wanted to alert you because then you can handle your bill and then I won't have to follow through.
Was this like a phishing?
No, definitely not. Oh. Because
I was like, he wasn't like, conveniently, if you give me your credit card information, we could handle that payment.
No. So, and the thing is, like, here's the thing, and I'm sure this will not surprise you. Mm-hmm. I pay my bills, but I don't necessarily pay my bills on time. Mm. And the water and power bill only comes every other month. So sometimes
I do the same thing, like especially with gas. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I haven't paid it in 6 months. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Or something, because it's so infrequent.
So there was a period back in like October when and you know how the water and power bill is I don't know what yours is like, because I've never been there when you got, even been to your house when you got mail, but I certainly wasn't there when you got your water and power bill, but it's like blue normally. And then when it's overdue, it's red.
I don't even know if we get them. I think we might be electronic.
Oh, you're paperless.
Yeah. Doing our part. No big deal.
Not me. I'm destroying the environment. But so I got a red bill back in like the beginning of October, and it was for a lot. It was like $500 and something. And I paid it. Mm-hmm. And just the other day, I got the next bill. So the December bill, which was 2 months later than the last one. And it was like, this was your prior balance. This is when you paid it. This is how much you owe now. And so when I got this the other day, I was like, great. So this guy is telling me, you know,
Looking at it. I'm good.
No. Yeah. I didn't even get to argue with him. I was like, wait. I paid that stuff. So he goes, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going on, but here, why don't you call this 800 number and you can talk to somebody there and see what they say. So I call the number.
More of that.
It's the worst, because I get this guy on the phone and like, I don't know how to say this politely, but fuck him. No.
Okay.
I have a hard time understanding him. He is not, English is not his first language, and I am not Totally. And I am having a difficult time because I'm saying I'm looking at the bill that says that I paid. Why would it say that I paid if I didn't pay? And he's like, well, sometimes the payment gets held up, and even though it registers on the bill, it still hasn't gone through. There's a problem with the bank and whatever. So I really started to lose my shit with this guy. And you guys are not doing a very good job over there. And I am not taking this out on you. I mean, I am taking it out on you, but I'm not saying it's your fault, but I don't understand why this is. And he goes, look, these things happen. Maybe it's a glitch in the system, but I can put you in touch with a supervisor if you want to talk to him and figure out what's going on. So I'm like, great, let me talk to a supervisor. So I get on the phone with the supervisor, and the supervisor is like, hey, you know, this is what's going on. There is a problem. You just have to take care of it so I can cancel this work order. This guy is about to show up at your house and cancel your, you know, cut off your water and power. If you want me to cancel that, I have to make sure that this bill is paid, and it's clearly not at this point. So, you know, here's your options. You can go to this place, you can go to this place, you can go to this place, you can go to this place. Now, the amount that they're telling me I need to pay is about $950.
Oh my God.
And he's like, you know, you can pay it. Here was the thing. You could pay it at this, you know, at CVS, they have an emergency water and power thing, at this other drugstore, at this other drugstore, but at all those places you have to pay cash, or no. You can go to a Walmart and you can pay with a debit card. So I'm like, well, I can't get $1,000 in cash that quickly. I can go to the Walmart. And
but also, like, I would be so, I mean, I'm sure we'll get there, but I would be so afraid that I would go to Walmart and be like, I would like to do this. And the people working there would be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, it just doesn't seem like an everyday occurrence, but maybe I'm wrong.
Right. Well, no. I said, so they're going to understand what I'm there for. And he's like, yeah. You go to the money services and you say, they'll know. Cause he's like, I'll send you a barcode so that you can use barcode I send you, and you can pay with that barcode, and they'll understand because they know that this is a way to pay, you know, when there's an emergency and you don't want
your water. It will definitely go to your account and not someone else's.
You don't want your water and power to go off. So he's like, go find a Walmart. When you're in the parking lot, call me and I will text you the barcode, and then you can. So I'm like, okay. So I get in the car. I do the thing where you Google Walmart, and I realize I've been to this Walmart a few times over in Burbank, and that's the closest one. And
it's a rough parking lot,
dude. I was getting there,
was it Black Friday too?
It's Black Monday, which is equally today. Disturbing. This was today.
No.
Yeah. So,
God bless your soul.
So I get over there and I'm like, God, this is, that's exactly right. I was like, this is a fucking nightmare because the parking lot. Everybody is just waiting for somebody else to pull. What's that?
I would avoid that place at all costs until February if I could.
Everybody is just parked waiting for somebody else to pull out of a space so you can't get around them. And then there's also people just crossing the people who are not ambulatory. Like they should be on a gurney. You know, like they should be wheeled across, and they're trying to. And like I say that out of love, because I should be on a gurney too, but it took me a long time to find a spot. I finally find a spot. And meanwhile, there's a ticking clock. I'm like, this is going to be, you know, I'm supposed to get over there. So I get all the way up to the Walmart. I walk past a guy, like a Harley, like a Hell's Angel guy with his bike there. And he's having a conversation with this old guy who's going, must get harder and harder to ride those things around with all the traffic. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting that he engaged this Hell's Angel with that conversation. But anyway, I pass those guys. I get up to the door, And right when I get to the door of the Walmart, my phone rings. And I'm like, oh, this is probably the auto insurance guys. But again, it's the serviceman who has the work order to cut off my water and power. And he's like, I'm getting close to your place. Like, do you want to figure this out? Or what do you want to do? Like,
I don't want you to come. Like, what do you mean? What do I want?
So in my head, I'm like, wow, this is excellent service that the water and power company is doing. Cause they're having the service guy call me and they're having the guy who is the call center guy call me to make sure I'm going to be able to handle this instead of them cutting off my water and power. Because obviously nobody wants their water and power. I don't know if you use yours every day. I use mine. Like, I drink water, right? I shower, yeah. I have a refrigerator, I have lights on, you know, at television. And so I'm
getting cold out there. You need.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I have a fireplace, so I could live with that. But, you know, I would just have to put the tea kettle over it and heat up the water for cowboy coffee. But I go into the Walmart, and here's another part of the problem, is that I don't know if you did this with your iPhone, but I just upgraded my OS on my iPhone, which has reset everything. So anywhere I go, I can't. Like, I have to sign on to a network. I can't get like Google, like nothing works all of a sudden let me step back for a second and say that, I mean, you already got there, but within a minute of me getting into my car to drive over to Burbank, I was like, this feels like a scam to me. I think these people are trying to scam me.
Yeah.
You never know. And we've talked before, although I guess this was us talking on the episode that wasn't actually recorded, but we've talked about how we always feel like we're in the wrong.
I did something bad.
And I did do something bad. I let my bill get out of control and then I paid it. So I talked about that with the guy on the phone and he was like, yeah, it says you may have paid it, but it says the payment is held up. Now, what I realized in retrospect was that is not information that he had until I said that. And the amount they wanted me to pay of like $950
was more than
way more. It was more than those two bills this bill plus another several hundred dollars.
And the barcode means that it would automatically go to what they want it to go to.
Who knows where that goes? So I'm Googling in the car on the way over trying to find out, is there such a thing as an LA Department of Water and Power scam? My phone won't tell me because it's all reset and it's not working properly. So I'm like, all right, I got to go over there. I'm sure it'll be fine. It won't be a big deal. Forgetting that it's going to be a fucking nightmare to park. So then I get inside the store and I say to one of the Walmart guys,
can I go back one more step?
Yeah, yeah.
Another warning, like red flag to me, is that none of the places they listed was a Department of Water and Power office.
Fucking insane. Yes.
So I don't know.
Right. No. Look, this is what I'm saying is I should have been certain that this was not a thing. But because I have that mindset and because I had fucked up the bill.
Praying on. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did they have a list of people who had like
I have no idea. I have no idea. But I went inside and I said to the greeter, I was like, do you have a Wi-Fi service here? Because I couldn't get it on my phone. And of course, this is a Walmart greeter, so they have no idea.
They're like, what is Wi-Fi? What's electricity?
What do you mean your power's being cut off? I don't even have power. So now I'm like, okay, how do I – so I go back outside – or no, I get on the Wi-Fi there. I have to create an account with Walmart to get on the fucking Wi-Fi. I mean, it is so insane. Get on the Wi-Fi and I start reading about the LA Department of Water and Power scams. There's no reason for them to call and tell you they're going to come. So my phone rings and it's the guy again and he's like, what's going on? He's pissed. He's pissed because he said – to call him within a half an hour to get the money. And he's like, you said you were going to call me back within a half an hour and you didn't call. What's going on? Are you able to do this? And I was like, yes, I'm at Walmart right now.
Yeah.
And
if he is getting emotional about it, it's a scam.
I said, I went to the people at Walmart and they don't know what I'm talking about. I said, I'm here to pay my emergency bill for the water and power. And he goes, what department did you go to? And I said, I went to customer service. And he was like, they don't know what customer service. They don't know. You got to go to money services, go to money services. And I said, okay, I'll go to money services. And he's like, look, it's my job to stay on the phone with you and make sure that this goes through. No, so I'm going to stay on the phone with you and you walk over to money services and we'll make sure that I send you the barcode and you can do all this. So I just go, yeah. I'm going to do that. But let me get set up first. So I'll call you back. And because he had given me his direct number earlier, mm-hmm. like this is the number, this is the extension, call me directly back. So I'm like, so I get on, I go on, now I have a plan. I go on the App Store and I download a thing to record calls because I'm like, here's what I'm going to do. When he calls me back, I'm going to say a couple of things. First, I'm going to tell him, I go back out to the parking lot. I'm going to tell him that I started screaming at the people there because they didn't know what I was talking about and I didn't want to get my water and power cut off. And I got escorted out and I'm not allowed back into the Walmart. I've been told that not only today, but forever, I'm not going to be allowed back into the Walmart. And then I'm going to start telling him, like, my son is diabetic and his insulin is in the fridge. Please, please don't cut it off. Is there anything? Is there any way you could not cut it off? So I have this whole plan in my head.
That's so good.
And of course, you know what happened? He never called back.
Oh, he's like, he knows that.
I'm sure they know the human psyche so well that they can tell as soon as they know figured out. So when I said, he said, I'm going to stay on the phone with you. And I said, yeah, I'll call you back. Let me get off and get set up. Mm. He was like, oh, he knows, not worth wasting any more time on.
The jig is up. So let's go to the next market.
Incredible. But then I did have to drive. Well, first of all, I was like, let me not waste this trip to Walmart because here I am at Walmart. It's Amber's birthday. Let me get Amber a birthday present here at Walmart. But then I was like, first of all, it's Black Monday, so it's going to take me like an hour to get anything. And we're not meeting in person tonight, so Amber will never know that I didn't get it at that trip. Right. I didn't get anything.
Perfect. Love that.
But I drove home, and all the way home, still in the back of my mind, I'm like, what if I get home and the power is off, you know? Mm-hmm. But needless to say, I got home and the power was on, and I checked to see if it was because – one of the neighbors had hooked up a generator or something because they knew my power was.
I'm glad that you didn't get all the way. Like, I'm glad you didn't lose $1,000.
I am too. I am too.
That's a lot of money. And I wonder, this is making me so curious. Now I want to really look into it. Cause like, what is the service at Walmart that is how they can get the money?
I would assume it is something
just like wiring.
Yeah, like Western Union, where you just but now because of barcodes, you can't see what's on the barcode. They don't know what's on the barcode. So you just go, oh my God, I gotta pay this. I gotta pay this now. And then that money is, you know, in
it's
crypto
gone. You can't
in
get
Bulgaria.
It. Yeah.
But it was just interesting because feel like I'm a relatively intelligent person, and it still took me until I got in my car to realize that it was a scam. And even when I realized it was a scam, I wasn't absolutely sure until I got to Walmart and figured out how to get on Wi-Fi set up, because I had to set up a whole account. I had to give them my email.
Oh my God.
I said, yes, please send me, you know, circulars about
here's $1,000.
But it was 2 hours out of my day,
yes,
you know,
horrible.
Which is only 3 hours long. So it was a nightmare. And that was, anyway, whenever something like that happens, I'm like, I think I'm smart, but I'm not that smart. But at least I'm smart enough not to do the thing.
They but what are about
people
very,
who aren't that smart.
I know. You know? They are very good at exactly what you're saying, like understanding the human psyche and adapting and having comebacks for anything that you
everything. Might. Like the fact that the guy said it could be a glitch is such a coverall. Like it means like who knows what happened. There's nothing we can do.
And I obviously now zooming out, but like it makes no sense that the paperwork and the bill would have it.
Of course.
The system, but not.
Which is what I said about 11 times.
Yeah.
But I felt like I was arguing with him. And again, it's that psychological thing of like they have the power and I must be in the wrong. You know, because I did not pay it on time. There was a problem.
Well, that's the other really smart thing is I wonder if they somehow hacked and found a list of people who have overdue bills.
Either that or they just figure it's a numbers game. They'll find somebody who is somehow behind in some way or didn't pay on time at some point. And because I think, and again, it's very hard to reconstruct the conversation because
Well, it was all like emotional and frazzled.
But also you're not paying attention initially. Like it's boring. I think that what happened was, you know, they said there's a problem with your account. And I immediately went to that thing. And I was like, no, I understand. I had this thing. And then they were like, well, do you have an account number there? Oh, that's the other thing they kept saying. He was like, do you have a confirmation number?
Do you have
a confirmation number for the payment that you made? And I was like, I don't know about you, but I don't ever keep the fucking confirmation number. I don't know where I would keep it. I'm like, as soon as they go, here is your confirmation number, 64. I'm like,
exit. Click.
Yeah. But so they kept saying, do you have and then if you think about the logic of that, if what they're saying is there's a problem with the payment and it's been held up.
So if you had the confirmation,
how would that change that?
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my excitement for the day.
That's so frustrating. I got a call recently and I have no idea if it was phishing or not because it came up. The caller ID was the Center for Disease Control. And I was like, huh, like there's a lot of crazy shit going on. So I was like, hello. And they asked,
hey, is this Amber? You got any diseases?
Well, they were doing a survey about COVID, I think. And then the first question was how many children under the age of 18 do I have? And I said, zero. And they were like, okay, now how many children live in that household that are under the age of 18? And I said, zero. And they're like, okay, thanks. And they hung up. So maybe it was real, but like, I was like, what was that?
No, that's the classic children under 18 scam. Like, oh, you have no children under 18? See, if you said, I have no children under 18, and then you said, I have five children that live here, then it would become a thing of like, we're going to report you for being part of the satanic pedophile cult or whatever, you know?
I'm sorry, Sean, that really sucks. But well, I'm so glad.
I feel like I'm $1,000 richer because I didn't pay it, but it was just, and you know what part of it is also that is so frustrating is the idea that I am sitting here going, I am such a fucking idiot for driving all the way to Walmart when that's not really true. It was them taking advantage of the human condition, you know, and that just happens to people. And that's why they always say, like, you look at people who get taken in by con men and you go, God, that must be a real idiot. And it isn't necessarily, you know, I mean, I am an idiot, but you know, a lot of people who get taken in by this. So anyway, it was a rough day and I was all prepared to talk about, cause I watched another rom-com this week.
What did you watch?
Did you ever see What Happens in Vegas?
I don't think so. Is that Sarah Jessica Parker?
Mm-mm. Ashton Kutcher and Charlize Theron. Theron. Is it Theron or Theron?
I don't think you said any part of the name correctly.
That's unfortunate.
Wow, what a mismatched cast.
So here's the story of What Happens in Vegas.
Okay.
Is Charlize Theron is having a surprise party. Both accounts. She's having a surprise party for her fiance, Ted Lasso, right?
Okay.
And
Ted Lasso, classic boyfriend who actually isn't the lead in those movies.
Jesus. More insurance people. So he gets home and everybody's hiding behind. There's like 50 people behind the couch in their apartment.
And he's having sex with somebody else or something.
No. He comes home and she's there. They're going to jump out and yell surprise, like at a surprise party. And he goes, I need to talk to you. And she's like, not now. And he's like, no, now. And so they go back and forth about that. And he goes, I need you to move out because it's not working out. They're engaged. I need you to move out. So it's not going to happen. So everybody then goes, surprise, I guess, so it's like this funny, very awkward, horrible thing. And then meanwhile, Ashton Kutcher is in a woodworking shop and the shop, the head guy goes, you're fired. Get out. And Ashton Kutcher says, you can't fire me. I need this job. And the head guy goes, you're a piece of shit. You don't belong here. You don't do a good job, whatever. And Ashton Kutcher goes, but Dad, I love it here, or whatever, right? So his dad has fired him. She gets dumped by her fiance. And now she has nowhere to live because it was his apartment. So what else do you do in that situation?
You go to Vegas.
She and her best friend go to Vegas. Him and his best friend go to Vegas. They get fucking blackout drunk.
Uh-huh.
We see the fun they have because, obviously
montage.
By the way, this movie should have been called Montage because the whole thing was just montage after montage after montage. I always tell people when I'm teaching my classes, I'm like, be careful of the montage because it's not enough to have a bunch of jokes. It feels like a sketch. You got to have story beats in there. And this movie was just all sketch jokes that I'm using the word jokes liberally there.
Yeah.
Liberally? I am a liberal. Anyway, so they wake up in the morning and they have gotten married. They're married.
Jeez Louise.
And not a big deal. You could probably say, well, I was blackout drunk and I didn't know what was going on and we didn't even know each other. But then right before so they meet up in the diner, and then she's like, can I talk to you for a second? And what's going on between us, whatever. So they go into the casino to talk.
Okay, they can't talk in the diner.
No, because their best friends are there. Rob Corddry and Lake Bell from Children's Hospital are there.
Great.
And by the way, everybody hates each other. Lake Bell and Rob Corddry, all they do the entire movie is go, you're fucking disgusting. I hate you. You're awful. You're a piece of shit. Which is the comedy of it, is that they hate each other.
Are mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It really was crazy how they were just flat out mean to each other. Like I literally did not understand what was supposed to be happening. And I'm certainly somebody who gets a kick out of meanness, but this was, I hate to say was
a step too far.
Too mean. I know that's crazy for me to say that.
Don Rickles, What Happens in Vegas?
What? But so they're in the casino and they're like, I don't know if we, and then they both realize that they're both not interested in it. Like they each thought the other one was on board, but neither of them was. And they were like, oh, thank God, you don't want this either. And Ashton Kutcher's like, no, I really don't want this. I really, no, I definitely. And Charlize Theron is like, I get it. I get it. Like already there's tension between
them. I just love an entire movie of people being like, ew, Charlize Theron.
That's what it was. That was what it was.
The most beautiful person that has ever existed.
It was so insane.
Yeah.
So just as they're about to, so they're like, okay, we decided we're not going to stay together. Mm-hmm. And then somehow she.
But they also are homeless and jobless.
Right. But then also she gives him a quarter. And he takes the quarter and he's about to walk away and he just like kind of throws it in a one-armed bandit and he starts to walk away and they win $3 million.
Oh my God.
The married couple wins $3 million together. So now they have a problem of like, whose quarter was it? Who wants the money? Who gets to keep the money? He's like, I put the quarter in, I get to keep the money. She's like, it was my quarter, I get to keep the money. We're married. Who knows? So they go to court, and the judge is the guy from the Dennis Miller show.
Okay.
It's Dennis Miller.
Oh, and, I was like, who else is it? The Dennis Miller show.
So Dennis Miller is like an old school guy.
Achy, machy. Hey, babe.
Let me tell you, babe, there's a thing or two you need to know about marriage. But that really was what it was. He's like, you guys are married.
My impression was really good, by the way.
What's that?
My impression was
mine really too. Amazing. I should be on the road with. I'm trying to think of what the guy's name was. Who? Freddie Travellina. I should be on the road with Freddie Travellina. If anybody knows who Freddie Travellina was, please give us. You know, drop us an email. Your
power in Waterville.
I bet you could find him on YouTube. But anyway, Dennis Miller is like, look, babe, you guys got married and marriage is till death do us part. And I don't see any bodies. And he says like, you can't just abandon your marriage. You have to try to work it out, which makes absolutely no sense because they're both like, we were blackout drunk. We're we don't even strangers. Know each other.
Yeah. And also, why is this judge infested? Like, who cares?
You got to stay together and make it work for 6 months. If you can try for 6 months, I'm sick and tired of marriages breaking up.
Makes no sense.
So they end up, so she moves into his apartment and they're going to live together for 6 months. And then it's just.
They have no money. Is the judge holding all of the money?
Yeah, the judge keeps all the money. The judge takes the $3 million, so they don't get any of it. And if they, I forget what the law is, but there's a law that says if you are married after 2 hours and you don't stay together for 6 months, the judge gets to keep all the money forever. I think it's a New York State. It's like an old fashioned law from New York State or something like that. But so they move in together and they just fucking hate each other. That's the whole movie is them.
But also, like, they can just be married and not live together. Like, how would the judge?
Well, I think.
Know? Oh,
so
they
part
would
of it
like
was
a
that they
hard kind of thing.
I don't know if that was it. I can't remember why. I think it was just because she didn't have a place to live. So he was like, I hate you, but you can live with me. And yeah, she had
but
no
like,
money.
The judge, like, how would he know, like, what their like intimacy level is? Or their,
well, because
like,
they had to go see the lady who was in Taxi with Jimmy Fallon, who was their therapist. Yeah, she's their therapist.
I love these clues. I feel like I'm playing a crossword.
They had to go see the rapper who was Queen Latifah. And she's their therapist and they have to like have couples therapy sessions with her. Uh-huh.
The judge mandated it
to convince the, so she's reporting back to the judge.
Nothing else is happening in the state of New York.
Right. She's like, judge, I got to tell you, I don't see any unity. That's for unity. I don't even know if that was Queen Latifah. I hope it was. But she's reporting back to the judge. So they go into the meeting and they're like, it's great. We love each other. We are so in love. But meanwhile, guess what? they're lying. It is not great.
Of course.
So like she's torturing him by staying in the bathroom too long. So he has to pee in the sink and he's peeing in the sink. So he's like, fuck you. I'm going to pee all over the dishes and you have to do the dishes. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, in between them hating each other, Lake Bell and Rob Corddry hate each other. They just are like, I hate you. You're disgusting. If I could kill you with them, if I could kill anyone with my mind, it would be you. Like, I hope you die in a fire. It was, you know, that kind of stuff. That kind of witty Hepburn and Tracy repartee. It was like they misunderstood the idea of
like
chemistry somehow, you know? But because, anyway,
like, often in like Meg Ryan movies, at first she's like, oh,
right. I can't
but there's already like chemistry there.
Right. There's, it's not going like, to work out.
I wish you were dead.
Well, and I'm sure you know where this is going, but
also my Meg Ryan impression was so good.
I thought you were doing Dennis Miller again. That's why I thought it was weird. Also, I wish you were dead, babe. it was also funny that Dennis Miller was even doing that, which I found like hilarious. His brother, who's now one of the owners of the UCB Theater, is one of the producers of the movie. So I'm sure he was like, Dennis, can you help us out? So they fucking hate each other. And it's like, if I can get the other person to want a divorce. Oh, that's the other thing. Rob Corddry is his lawyer.
Whoever requests the divorce doesn't get the money.
Right. If somebody else wants to get divorced, they don't get the money. So she calls a bunch of, like, I don't know who they were. They weren't strippers, but they were, you know,
sex broads,
ditzy broads. Yeah. Okay. To come over to the apartment and try to seduce him. And then he's like, oh, I get what's going on. They're all here to seduce me. There's like 10 women who come in. And by the way, you know, a lot of them were very attractive. Some of them were not. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting choice.
It's also like, yeah, that's Charlize Theron. Like, what are you doing? Yes.
You're not going to do better, dude. So he calls Rob and he's like, hey man, I have all these women at my apartment. And Rob is like, oh my God, she's trying to get you to divorce her. You can't respond. So he has to not get into it with any of these women. And then he calls a bunch of his hot friends, because hot people always just hang out with hot people. He calls his hot friends. Oh, this was great. I forgot about this part. He calls all his hot friends to come over and and I apologize to the little kid who's listening who was born in 2014, but he calls all his hot friends to come over and fuck these women. He's like, you guys got to come over and whatever.
Oh.
So all his hot friends come over.
I also like that you can't get rid of them in any other way. Like, you can't just ask them to leave. They need to have sex with someone.
But in addition to all, so now we're probably halfway through the movie.
Oh my God.
And in addition to all his hot friends showing up, Zach Galifianakis shows up.
Okay. I'm listening. Like,
where was Zach the first half of the movie? You know?
We needed him. They were like,
holy shit, did we need him?
Was this before or after The Hangover?
I did not look it up, but it's after The Hangover because it's the same fucking movie. Except that Zach was in more of The Hangover.
To even cast him again, they're not even pretending.
Well, when we get to the end, anyway, so Zach shows up and he's like, "Oh man, that's your wife? Are you crazy?
And who even is he? Just a friend?
Yeah, just a friend.
Okay.
And so then they're hanging out, and I don't know, more bad things happen. Zach and Rob figure out, we just have to make it look like she's been violent with him. So they beat him up before one of their sessions, and they go with Queen Latifah.
Glad that they picked the husband and not the wife, though. It's still not a great joke. Like, what are we doing, guys?
Well, that brings up a whole other thing, which is, I don't know if you've been paying any attention to this whole Matt Rife controversy.
Only slightly.
Yeah. That's all it's worth. But anyway, okay. we're done with that. But so they kick the shit out of him, and then he goes to the therapist's office, and she's like, "Are you okay, Queen Latifah? Are you okay? Did you have a bad reaction to watching Taxi with Jimmy Fallon and myself?" And he's like, I fell. She, you know, Charlize is sitting right next to him, and he's like, I fell into a doorknob. I, like, hilarious domestic violence.
Yeah. So funny. It's a real problem.
And Charlize Theron just pulls out her phone and goes, mm-hmm. So she had him under surveillance the whole time, and she has a video of Zach and Rob.
Abusive relationship behavior. Surveilling him.
There's no good guys in this whole movie. There's nobody that you're rooting for. Okay. You know?
They end up together.
Well, yeah. I mean, we can cut to that, but it just was crazy. And you know, there was one joke where I forget why he's chasing after her in a car or something. Who knows what the fuck was going on in this movie? But Zach, so I think it was Zach's car, and Ashton Kutcher goes to get in the car. He like takes his keys and he's like, I need your car. I'm going. And Zach goes, do you even know how to drive an automatic? And I was watching that and I was like,
that's really funny.
A joke that Zach wrote. Like,
definitely.
That is such a Zach joke. And whoever wrote this movie didn't all of a sudden come up with a great joke.
They
truly
didn't understand that joke when he said it, probably.
Yes. He got a lot of pushback when he improvised that on set. But so then, yeah, they end up together. Who the fuck even remembers how it happens? But he coaches Little League, and she sees him coaching Little League, and she softens to him. Yeah, because he's best friends with this little girl who is, I think, his niece or something. And he told this little kid all about his fake marriage and all that stuff. So anyway, they end up. Oh, they go on a retreat. For her work retreat. She's a hard charging stockbroker who has no money. I don't know how that works. But she's trying to get ahead in the business world, and he shows up, and lots of really, really funny stuff at Dennis Farina, who obviously is great in everything, is her boss. There's something that happens where he makes a joke about Dennis Farina's name, which I don't even remember what it was, but then and it's like a sexual pun of some sort.
Okay.
And Dennis Farina, Ashton Kutcher's name is Jack, and Dennis Farina goes, Jack off, Jack off, Jack off. And that's the joke, I guess. So anyway, I give it 9 out of 10 stars.
Sounds great.
So anyway, what happens in Vegas should stay in Vegas. Or if what happens in Vegas stayed in Vegas, I don't know. Oh, that's what I was going to say about The Hangover, is the last scene of the movie is you get to see the wedding ceremony that happened when they were blackout drunk, which isn't that exactly what happens in The Hangover, is they show all the photos of what happened while they didn't remember anything. So this is the same fucking thing, and they are getting married, and guess what else is going on at the same time?
Lake Bell and Rob
are basically fucking in the chapel while they're
getting married.
No. They're totally into each other and like hooking up.
So funny.
So that's 2 hours of my life I'll never get back. You know,
we should have an ongoing series where you talk about rom-coms and I talk about war films, because
about
I saw war films. Because I saw Napoleon. Like, it just, I shouldn't have. Like, what was I doing there? about like 5 minutes in, a horse explodes. And I was like, I shouldn't be here. This is not for me.
I hope it was something I don't know how it happens because I haven't seen the movie, but if it was like, Pierre, we must try the exploding horse trick, you know?
No, it's like our hero.
Napoleon,
yeah. Is like riding into battle, and it's the very beginning of the movie. So you're like, oh, nothing's going to go wrong with our hero, Napoleon. And a cannonball hits his horse and like disintegrates basically. And it's like,
okay. And he's okay.
Yeah, he's fine.
Which I don't think, I feel like physics dictates that would not be possible. Like if the horse disintegrated,
well, I don't know,
he would be badly damaged.
Immediately, I like didn't watch the movie for like 5 minutes because I was like, I need to get my bearings. I'm not okay. Yeah. War movies are interesting. Maybe you have insight on this. I know I sound very naive, but I think for the most part, I'm sure there's exceptions. They're trying to say like war is bad. Look at how bad it is. Mm-hmm. But then it's also shot sexy, kind of like, so it feels like a confusing mixed message. I guess people just like violence. I don't know.
Well, I think that a lot of times there's an intention with something artistically that gets completely misread by the general public. And I think you're right about war films where people are like, ooh, that looks cool. And I think there is something, particularly among men aesthetically, where they're like, blowing shit up is interesting.
Awesome. Yeah.
But if you think about stuff like I have a friend who sadly has passed away, who was a incredibly beautiful woman who was a cheerleader for the NBA for a long time and a dancer. And I just remember after the first season of The Sopranos, she was like, I want to fuck that guy. Like, James Gandolfini as Tony Soprano was the sexiest man she had ever seen. And I was like, I think you're taking the wrong thing away from the show.
It's just like, I think seeing a guy that tough, but also having a vulnerable side, I think it's just like instantly.
Okay. So I'll grant that one, but it's the same as the people who go, Walter White is awesome. And like, that's not the message of the show. No. It's that he's a terrible, terrible person.
Right.
But that's not what people take away. Scarface. Everybody has a poster of Al Pacino as Scarface on their wall. I mean, mine is right here, so you can't see it. But like, the point of that was not this guy is awesome. Yeah,
like, let's be like him. Well, I mean,
Mona Lisa. You're not supposed to look at Mona Lisa and be like, she's awesome. But so many people are like, she is awesome.
But even like all of the Wall Street, Greed is Good. Like, that was him making movies trying to point out how bad it was. And society, not everyone again, but kind of on a whole was like, yep, greed is good. And it was like, no, that's why like parody and farce, it can be very tricky because people might not get the joke underneath.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think being an artist is tough. People can misunderstand what you're trying to say. So anyway, everybody check out What Happens in Vegas. And
I can't believe you gave us like beat by beat every scene.
I look at that and I'm like, they spent a lot of money to do that. And I just don't understand why, you know, Napoleon, I get it. Napoleon is going to lose so much money, but I get that guy was an important figure in the history of the world. So I get why you would do that.
He certainly believes so. He has like Trump tendencies, which were my favorite parts, where he would like, he would say like how well he did in a battle. And then they would just put up a statistic of like how many of his soldiers died. And it was just like, he has an interesting relationship with the truth, you know?
I blew those people away. I really triumphed. A lot of men are coming up to me with tears in their eyes and saying, sir, they said, sir.
And Joaquin Phoenix is great. It felt like strange casting. Now I'm just talking about Napoleon, because almost everyone else in it was doing like crisp Shakespearean trained dictation. And he was
Joaquin Phoenix was doing kabuki theater.
No, he was like, he is great, but he's a little mumbly.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just be like, I don't know what he's saying when he's getting emotional sometimes. Especially, it was so different from everyone else in the movie. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the thing I was going to say about what happens in Vegas is it feels like a cash grab. Like The Hangover was hilarious about a blackout drunken night where
in Vegas
that had repercussions. Yeah. And now we're going to do another movie like that. And everybody will come. Like, it was so directly ripping off what happens in Vegas or whatever the other one happened in Vegas, but it wasn't called what happened. Anyway. But Napoleon, it's like, this is an interesting subject. Whether the movie is good or not, I get why they would make it. Now, I did read a thing that said
it's not even accurate or something. Well, I heard
certainly that. Not so accurate. Like,
I don't, you're not actually learning anything.
Right. Certainly not accurate. But also, I think it cost $200 million to make. And it would need to make $400 million just to break even. And in the first big weekend, it had made $33 million or something like that. And like, grateful to you, I'm sure that you paid.
Yeah, I'm doing my
part. By the way, that's another thing. I looked it up because I was like thinking I would go see it on the Friday of Thanksgiving weekend. I was like, I could go see Napoleon at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's like $25 to go see a movie at this point.
Yeah.
I have not been to the movies in so long. And I was like, holy shit. When I used to go to the movies, it was $2.
Have you bought eggs recently?
Thanks, Joe Biden. Anyway, all right. Checking in. Amber, what's going on?
Oh my God. We got to wrap it up. Checking in. I did have a birthday. You mentioned that earlier. And
happy birthday. I almost bought you something at Walmart.
I don't need anything from Walmart. I'm good. It was great. I made the decision to spend the day at the Wii Spa. I talked about going to the Wii
Spa. Second time.
Yes, it was my second time going. And this time I opted for a treatment. I made an appointment for a scrub down and a massage. And I spent the whole, I was there 6.5 hours. I spent the whole day there. And I brought like books and water bottles, all the things that the last time I was like, ooh, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Uh-huh. I wish I had that. And headphones and, but also clothes and like toiletries to do my hair and makeup. So Jeff picked me up right from there and we went on a date right from there. And that was super fun because, you know, we've been together a really long time and have lived together a really long time. So we don't often like have that traditional, like, I'll pick you up at 7.
Right.
Date night. And
so were any of the same people at the Wii Spa, like the people that were there last time?
I don't know.
The ones who were like, why is that woman lurking over there?
I don't know. I felt
she's pretending to eat soup, but I know what's really going on.
I did eat more soup though. There were a lot of children running around, which,
ugh.
Yeah. A lot of people would have been really upset. I was braced. I had enough. I had a book. I had headphones to block things out. But yeah, it's an interesting place to have people having their kids like run in circles.
I mean, I'm kidding by saying, ugh, but like, I don't know. That's a weird thing for, yeah. for like, if I was a kid, for my parents to be like, we're going to a spa for 7 hours. I would stay in the car, you know?
Well, in the all female floor at one point, I was in the, and that's like mandatory nudity, that floor. I was in.
How do you get onto that floor?
You don't.
We'll see.
I was in a hot tub and there was two like little girls. I want to say like 6 and 4 mm-hmm. Who were in the hot tub and running in and out of the hot tub. And then another woman. And their mother was showering. Can you mind? All of us are naked. Everyone in this story is naked. And so the woman in the hot tub was like, oh, I used to love bringing my daughters to the spa. Like they loved it. And I was like, and then I had the moment of like, those aren't my kids. Like, like you don't need to bond with me about that.
You must be in heaven right now with your two children right nearby. You're like, if I could kill someone with my mind, it would be you or Rob Corddry.
But I'm trying to think of a good spa start. Oh, so when I checked in, I was like, I have an appointment for, it's like, they're famous for their, it's called like buff and massage. Mm-hmm. So like, I have an appointment for a buff and a massage. And they said, do you want to upgrade? And I was like, yeah, yes, I do. So I had a 90-minute treatment.
Holy shit.
And it is wild. Like, I don't even know all of the things that happened because they put you on, they ask you to lay down on like a massage table, but it is like waterproof. and so they truly just, there's
I've been on water soluble massage tables, but never waterproof.
And so there's a woman and she just like has like kind of the equivalent of a Brillo pad and she just scrubs every square inch of you. And then every once in a while, just like throws a bucket of warm water on you.
Does it hurt?
Kind of.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
Okay.
And I mean, there was like nooks and crannies. I was like, oh, we're doing that part too. Okay.
Well, you got the upgrade. I'm assuming that means a happy ending, right?
No. But, and then I was like, she washed my hair and, I mean, it's a Korean day spa. So these women are actually from Korea. It's, mm-hmm. it's not, a joke. And so,
English only there for a day, right?
Correct. And so English is not her first language. Mm-hmm. And so we were having a little bit of a trouble understanding each other.
I know what that's like. You should try talking to the guy on
the scammer.
The scam guy.
Well, not being able to understand him clearly is also probably part of the tactic because you fill in the gaps and then they take what you said and
they fucking got me. They got me.
But she washed my hair and she was like, anyway, at one point she was like, okay, get up.
What was that? Was she shoving you out of the way? What was happening
like,
there?
She would like shove me and I'm like, do you want me to go on my side? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, I don't know. she washed my hair and she like tied my hair up really tight in a towel. It was the best. I wish that I could make my hair that secure and tight in a towel. And then she was like, she just kept saying something to me. I was like, I don't know what you're saying. And then she squeezed a bunch of paste into my hand. And finally, I gathered, she's like, go to the shower, wash your face. And then she said something else, but I didn't fully gather. But I was like, okay, shower. She's like, don't wash your hair, wash your face. And I was like, okay, got that. And I did that and I came back and she was so annoyed with me. She like rolled her eyes and she's like, sauna for 5 minutes. And I was like, I don't know.
This is my second time here.
I don't know what's going on. But there was like a face mask on me that was like wax. There was oil all over me. I was like slipping and sliding on that waterproof massage table. It was wild. But my skin was very, very soft afterwards.
Do you think you'll do that again?
Yes. I don't know if I'll do the 90-minute treatment. It doesn't seem like necessary. But I
78 minutes of which is being scrubbed with a Brillo pad.
Well, the buff is what I like the most, because the massage was, it wasn't like, it's not what you come there for. It wasn't like a, oh, I got all the knots out of my, like she was massaging oil on me.
Ah.
I think it's more about the skin treatment.
Right, right.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It's a good birthday.
It was a good birthday. And yeah, Jeff picked me up and we went to a really nice dinner, and that was really fun. And it was great. Great times.
I've never been to a Korean day spa, and I don't know that I ever will, but you've certainly sold it. Do you get a commission?
I do. I can't wait to.
What if this is your scam? Your scam is going on.
Podcast. I hope I'm selling it that well. There's kids running around if they push you. Oh, but so I packed my clothes and my hair and my makeup to get ready for the date. And I was so paranoid about getting ready too early and then just like sitting around dressed waiting for Jeff to pick me up, that if anything, I aired the other direction where I was like, no, I have to get ready really quickly. And I packed tights and a skirt, and also I'm not home, so like that's what I'm wearing. And I put the tights on and they're just like a hole this big, like right by my knee. And I'm like, it's impossible to be completely bone dry in a spa ever. Like it's just a damp, moist environment. And putting on tights there, like I didn't think that one through ahead of time. So I was just making the holes worse. And I was like, well, I went to this like nice restaurant, like kind of punk rock. Like there was nothing I could do about it.
Joe Namath used to wear pantyhose under his football uniform, so I'm sure he had similar issues with trying to get those on.
How come?
Stay warm, like in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And also, it just feels good to be supported, you know? That's why I wear them. It's just for comfort and support. And when I have a hole in the knee, I'm like, what the fuck? Why did I even, you know? What did I pay for these? So good birthday, good date, good dinner, good desk.
Good night.
Well, it's time for on the show for something we call parting shots. So why don't we start today with Amber?
Parting shots. We've talked about so much.
Do you want to go back to the Trump golden shower thing?
No. I do not. Oh, okay. This is more spa thing, but there is a room called the sleep room. And there's even like a sign that's like, enter slowly and quietly. And like people are in here to be sleeping, and there's mats and blankets and stuff. And I was like, after my massage, I was like, yeah, I'm going to take a nap in the nap room. And I go in there, but it's, like everyone takes a perimeter, and it was pretty all the perimeter was full. So I technically could have slept just like in the middle of the room, but that felt so strange because people would have to step over you. So I found a space, but it was very close to the door, and the door was basically going to hit me anytime anyone left or came in. And but I settled myself and I was like, okay, nap time it is. It's dark in here. And then, but there was a woman on just the exact opposite side of the wall. So she wasn't in the nap room to her credit, but she was on the phone screaming about like, you are fucking me. Like it's just like she was talking to your insurance company. And
you left your two kids here and went away. You fucked me, you fucking asshole.
And it was just like, what an interesting choice. And I finally was like, this isn't working for me. I keep just listening to this person. I could go somewhere else. And I left. And as I was leaving, there was someone who worked at the spa like, excuse me, ma'am, you have to be a little bit quiet. And she's like, oh, yeah. But it's just interesting to not be aware of other people at all. Mm-hmm.
By the way, you being in the wrong place and not being able to find a spot in the sleep room and being too close to the door and then ending up with somebody screaming from you, like 6 inches away right. from you on the other side of the wall. That is like a metaphor for my entire life. That's how I feel all the time. Like, oh, the door is going to hit me in the face and I can't go in the middle because
but I don't want to disturb other people. Yeah,
I don't belong here. I don't belong here.
Oh, also we talked about this on the last episode, but remember I was like going to get up the courage to request last week and off of work and I didn't do that. And then this week off, I also didn't do that. I'm working.
That was what started us on the, I did something wrong conversation.
Right. So eventually I will take time off, but yeah.
You still haven't done it though.
No. Well, because now it's bizarre because it's like, can I take tomorrow off? Can I take right now off?
Why didn't you ask me 2 weeks ago? Don't you listen to my podcast? I do, but it's a lost episode.
I also, okay, this is just me complaining about work really quickly. I'm going to say this and then I will be done, but I think you will appreciate it. I am working on this project right now, and the partners, the people that I'm working with, they don't none of them work in my company. Like I'm dealing with an outside partner. Every time I get an email from them, I feel completely insane, and I couldn't pinpoint why, because I have worked for a long time, and I like it. It's not like it's the hardest project in the world, but today I pinpoint exactly why. It's because they're gaslighting me. So like they will be an email that comes in, they will ask for X and Y, and I'll say, great, I'll get you X and Y, and I'll go and I'll work and I'll get X and Y. It'll be, I'm so proud of myself, and I say, hey, I got you X and Y, and they'll respond and say, when can we expect Z? And I'm like, like what they should do is say, thank you, and here is an additional ask we have, but they word it like I forgot something.
Right.
And it makes me feel insane.
Right. Well, also I would say let's start having real email conversations instead of discussing algebra equations all the time. You know, like tell me, don't use a variable. Tell me the specifics of what you want. No, that's frustrating because it's like, what are we doing here? Are we?
Well, because, and I'm new to the project. So at first I kept being like, oh, I'm so sorry about Z. I'll get you Z right now. Like I'm in trouble. Like I always think I am. And so lately I'm like, screw you with your Z. Like I'll get you Z, but you got to ask for it. I'm not psychic. Okay.
Yeah. How about I don't get you Z? How about A squared plus B squared equals C squared? Huh? How about the Pythagorean theorem? How about that? Huh?
I started being a real like screenshotting. I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. I was working under this request. I didn't realize. I said, I think I even used the word, these weren't on my radar, but I will work on them now. Like,
Gary, she's using radar over there. She's gaslighting us with radar.
This is my parting shot. It was a bunch of things.
Guys, I just wanted to get back to you. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Mm-hmm. And I gave you A equals B and B equals C. So don't ask me for A equals C.
Yeah, you got it all.
When you already know that A equals C. Okay, here's my parting shot. First of all, I hope everybody's following me on TikTok. I really am obsessed with TikTok at this point.
That's so funny.
I've put out.
I feel like this time last year, like, what is TikTok?
Not
the tide has turned.
Well, I've put out for over a month now. I've put out at least one or two videos every day.
Over a month already? Wow.
Yeah. And my goal was to get 500 followers by the end of November, which is like 4 days from now or something. And I'm at, I think, 450 or something like that.
Oh,
right,
you'll
now.
Do
so
it. You'll do it.
We'll see. We'll see. But it is just an interesting, I've never tried to do anything
social media.
What did you say?
End of sentence. I've never tried.
Well, that's not. Yeah. I mean, look, I got a text right before the show that my brother's older son has just become an Eagle Scout. And oh, they wow. had a picture of him with all his badges and whatever. And I was like, and this is a thing he's been working on for like 10 years. And like that kind of blew my mind because I was like, I've never worked that hard for anything in my life.
That's not true. Know?
But anyway, now I'm working that hard for TikTok. But anyway, people should. Yeah, I have a lot of interesting things to say. But here's what I want to do is I want to plug my friend's podcast. I think people who listen to podcasts often listen to other podcasts.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So there's a podcast called Stark Raving Reviews, and it's my friend Adam Spiegelman. These are all old friends of mine from New York. So Adam Spiegelman, who's a producer for Access Daily with what's his name from that show? You know who I'm talking about. The guy what was the show about the high school with the kids?
Oh my God.
With the woman who played the stripper. She was the stripper in Vegas. She should have stayed in Vegas. What happened with her in Vegas? She was with Kyle MacLachlan in that movie. They fuck in a pool. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, are you talking? Wait.
Elizabeth Berkley. What's the name of that movie where she's
called Striptease? No, it's not. It is called. Oh my God. People are screaming at us right now.
Yes. Anyway,
it's like Chorus Line, but not. It's like.
Right, right. Gina Gershon is in it maybe or somebody like that.
Yes.
But anyway. Definitely. The guy who was in the high school show with them, Bay Ridge High was the name of the school.
Still Saved by the Bell. I can't believe that I got to where you were going because I was like, what is happening?
Saved by the Bell, yes. Anyway, the guy from Saved by the Bell is in this Access Daily show, Mario.
Mario Lopez.
Yeah.
Access Mario Hollywood. Theron.
So Adam is one of his producers.
This is insane.
Mario's one of his producers. I mean, Adam is one of his producers.
Showgirls.
Yes, that's the name of it. And it's that movie about showgirls. What's it called?
I know.
And then Andre Dubuchet is one of the people who does this podcast. Andre was a writer for Conan for forever, and he's just a really funny
podcast
comic from New York. He had a great show in New York, which the name of which I don't remember. But it was like this character he did from Bolivaguay, and he had a night of amazing inventions, and also there is a game, so they always have inventions and a game by the end of the show, but then also stand-up. And then Adam Felber, who was a writer for Bill Maher for many years and is also a frequent guest on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on a radio station called NPR. So those three have a podcast called Stark Raving Reviews, which is them pretending they've seen movies they haven't and reviewing them.
That's so funny.
But here's what I also like.
We basically did that today. Right.
Well, unfortunately, though, I did see that movie. But the thing about this podcast that stood out to me when I was looking at it is all of the episodes are 12 to 17 minutes long. So it's not this fucking bullshit where people just go on and on forever and you're like, oh my God, when are they going to get to the end where Charlize Theron and Ashton Kutcher hook up? It's just like, I do feel like I would like to listen to quick podcasts sometimes.
Quibi? A quick fight?
Quibi. R.I.P. Quibi. All right. I think that's it. I think that's our show. That's the end. Any further?
No, we gotta go.
Ado?
We gotta go. We gotta wrap this up. Gotta go.
Thanks for listening, folks. Please like and subscribe and tell other people about the show and come to our live shows. We're doing another one at the Fake Gallery soon. We will see you next time.
Exist anymore.
That venue no longer exists. So I don't feel like I'm gaslighting anybody because they're going to look it up and go, it doesn't, it's not, that the fake like gallery is not the there. The
definition of gaslighting, but.
Oh, right. That's true. That is true. I apologize.
Goodbye. I'm going to go eat dinner now.
We'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
All right. Oh, right. I got to stop it. I was about to end it again.
Well, undo it. Simply untape or unglue it. You can punch a hole through it and repair it with me. I got better. Run it right through the center where the curves and the video store used to be. Though before that, it ain't much earlier format. It's just an old floor mat. You wipe off your feet, goes to show you. Said it hurts you too much. Can we just assume